Well, hey there. Welcome to an episode of Something Say Something. What's it called? Say something interesting. It's been a couple weeks. A lot.
Wow, you're struggling a bit.
Man. Let me move this over.
He like hit his cover on his mic.
Hey, welcome to another episode. It's a very special episode of Say Something Interesting. My name is Brent. With me is my friend Megan.
Hi, everyone.
And we're with East Lake Tri-Cities Church in Eastern Washington, and this is a fun time to get back together. It's been a couple weeks. How
it
are
has.
You, Megan?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Doing good. Better than last time we were here.
That's, yeah. You were a little under the weather. It was a little post spring break, and you were still in recovery mode.
No, my back went
from
out.
From all the drinking. And all the, and the back went out, too. That's right. She's shaking.
Absolutely.
She's so angry. How's your back feeling? Are you better?
Better.
Good.
Not 100%, but better. I went to the chiropractor 3 times in 6 days.
Yeah.
And the last...
But it helped.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
My left hip was a half inch lower than my right hip.
Mm.
And he called me cattywampus.
Yeah.
And...
He sounds like he's over 50.
Nope. He's 28 and he looks like he's 15.
And he uses the word cattywampus?
Yep. I'm pretty sure he's Mormon.
I said the same thing, but I thought I can't say that on this podcast.
I did.
Oh my gosh. You said it. Guys, if you have angry letters to say and be like, hey, that feels very judgmental and whatever.
Okay. I'll take being judgmental.
It's,
about...
Megan at eastlaketricities.com is the...
An incredibly wealthy religion. So I can handle that.
It's been closed for years now.
Bring it, everyone. I'm fine with that.
All right. Anyways, yeah, you gave him your money, so obviously.
Yeah.
It helped. It was good.
Yeah, and I like him a lot. He's really good. Like kind and like generous and gentle and yeah. This is what we're going to do. And
can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
A few months ago, we got contacted. I served on a Boys and Girls Club committee with a guy named Chad, who is LDS, and they said, hey, our church would love to help your church do something great for the community. And I was like, that sounds great. So we came up with a couple of projects, and one of the projects was doing some of the trees outside.
Oh, yeah.
And so we cleaned up at the Uptown, and we prepped for fall and winter and all that kind of stuff, and they were super generous in all of that. And I scheduled that we had this team meeting that we were going to meet at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. We're going to have a work day. We're going to be here till noon, whatever. I got donuts, and I made two big pots of coffee from our thing, and I brought it over to the Where Love space, and forgetting that most of the people who were coming that day were LDS people. And so I brought the coffee in, and they all looked at me like I was, and nobody touched it.
Yeah.
And I said something at the very beginning. I'm like, there's coffee right over there. Cause I'm like, maybe they don't know that this is free.
Yeah.
Like, you guys can have some. Like, I'm not going to charge you. Go ahead and grab some. And they're like, yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
And
I completely
misread the room and had two large pots of wasted coffee at the end of that thing.
Whoops.
And then he just contacted me again. We're meeting next week to talk about another project.
That's really cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
For
the record,
kind people.
I have nothing against Mormon people.
Yeah, sure.
I just was...
They just look young.
This one in particular.
Yeah. Okay. Back to our regular schedule program.
Yeah. So it's a lot better, much improved. All the manual adjustments.
I love my chiropractor.
And all of that.
It's great.
I think I'm I knew the benefit, but sometimes it takes me a while to actually start the whatever. And now I'm now that I'm doing it and I have a person that I like, and I definitely will be going.
Can I tell you this? For years, my visits to the chiropractor were reactionary. I would hurt myself. Sometimes it would be 2 months in between. Sometimes it would be 6 months in between. Sometimes it would be 2 weeks in between.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm miserable. Mm-hmm. And I need to go see a chiropractor. And then I call them, and then, they're like, well, we can get you in 2 days or whatever. And be like, that's fine or whatever. And then we just started being like, hey, we're going to go once a month, Kylie and I, once a month. And even when I'm not feeling it, I feel great. I'll come in, they'll be like, what hurts? And I'm like, nothing, feel great.
Yeah. Preventative.
Just straighten me out a little bit or whatever, And it's been
a huge upgrade. I think right now we're going to be at the once a week. So I'm going back on Wednesday, and hopefully we'll be at once a week for a little while. And then I think I'll probably end up being a once a month person as well.
Yeah.
And then I know my hips have been misplaced for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's been the cause of my back issues for a long time. And so making them stay where they're supposed to stay is going to take a while.
Yeah.
So I know, like, I'm kind of in it for the long haul.
Too much Shakira back in your 20s.
Exactly. I mean, you say that, but that's not totally untrue, I guess. I don't know. I love Shakira. But yeah, so I'm excited, and it's definitely helping, and
good.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So we've been off the record for 2 weeks.
Off the record.
Whatever it is. Off the recording. We record this thing. Anything else fun that you did in the
Yeah, so well, I had some people over on Saturday. I was going to have like a fire pit night because I have a built-in fire
Weird.
Pit.
Let me see if I got my phone just to check my text messages and invite. Yeah,
I did not invite Brent.
Nothing on there. Interesting.
I have a small house, so I have to like strategically
It's outside,
people.
Megan. Anyway. You just said it's a fire pit. We can fit people around fire pits.
Well, okay,
go
but
on.
Good thing I didn't invite that many people because it ended up being like crazy windy. Yeah. And I was like, I don't really want
this is
to
like,
have a fire.
I always forget how windy April and May are.
Yeah.
A little bit. You're like, oh, it's springtime. In springtime, it's windy here. Like,
yeah, pretty regularly.
Most days in April. Yeah. If you get a nice day in April, like take advantage of it because
yeah.
it's just windy. So,
so
yeah.
we ended up being mostly inside, which is like I only have my house is 1,000 square feet. And there were like 10 people in there plus 4 kids. So
and what and your cats are like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, my cats are like, what? They just went and hid under my bed.
Yeah.
Although, like, they would come out every once in a while.
Are they gone yet?
Yeah. And then when I was cleaning up, at one point I like heard all the kids go into my bedroom, and I was like, oh my gosh. So I had to like kick them out and be like, leave them alone. They're hiding from you. And then when I was cleaning up, I like looked under the bed, and there were like 11 cat toys under my king size bed that I had to like fish out from the middle that clearly the kids had been trying to like entice my cats out with.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, cats just aren't like that. Just leave them alone. But mostly, thankfully, the kids still mostly played outside. I had like bubbles and sidewalk chalk. I have a lot of paved area in my backyard. And so the sidewalk chalk was like a big hit. And I have I told you about my basketball hoop that's on the grass.
No.
Okay. I have a basketball. put in the ground. Ow. Sorry, I hit.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm the one.
I'm the one struggling. Yeah. Brent's struggle bus is apparently contagious.
I'm fine now. You're.
Anyway, I have a basketball hoop that's in the ground.
Okay.
In my backyard, and it, like, grass is all over it. Which the hilarious part is that my yard is.
It's not one of the ones with, like, a base that you can move around.
Nope.
It was originally in.
It was
like, cemented
like,
in.
Cemented into the ground.
But now it's not cemented into the ground.
It's still cemented into the ground. Well, I don't know if it's cemented or not. I honestly, I don't know if it was originally cemented into the ground. It is in the ground.
Okay.
And the best part is that on the. So my yard kind of like horseshoes around the back of my house.
Okay.
And the like one side is grass, like two sides of that are grass.
Okay.
But one side is all like concrete.
Okay.
Because there's a shed and then concrete. And I think they had like a carport in there and like had cars back
You
there.
Think. You own this property and you.
My house is 80 years old.
You think you have a carport.
No, they used to.
Oh, they used to. Okay.
Yeah. There's no cardboard there now. Okay. But there's some.
I've
like,
never been on that side of the house, to be fair. Yeah. There might be a carport over there.
No,
and a shed.
There's. And there's some, like, it looks like peg holes in the concrete where
oh,
there used
yeah,
to
yeah.
be.
Like
stuff.
Rebar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
There's not rebar sticking out, but
yeah,
there's like
yeah.
holes where there
they
used to be.
They clearly cut something out of there.
And the like gate is really big, like big enough for a car to go through, but whoever owned it before me or before them decided not to have it be a gate. They just like fenced it. So now that driveway doesn't go into the back. Anyway. The point is, I have this whole huge area of concrete.
Like a perfect basketball court.
Yeah. And the basketball hoop is on the other side of my house where there's grass.
Just didn't think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. But I bought a basketball because I was like, well, you know, then when kids come over, they can like shoot hoops or whatever.
Yeah.
So they like, you know, I had the basketball out too. They were playing on the basketball hoop. And
fun. Yeah. It was being used finally.
Yeah.
It's like the Giving Tree. Like, it lost its purpose, and then all of a sudden there's kids, and they're like,
Every time there's kids over, they use it. Like, yeah. And I finally was like, I'll buy a basketball. Then it'll definitely get used. But yeah. But it ended up being really fun, even though we didn't get to do a fire pit. So,
hey. Yeah. There's always this next week, or I don't know, it's freezing out right now. It's super windy and crappy. But I had a chance to go to Tennessee with some pastor friends. Mm-hmm. And first off, Nashville was awesome. Have you been to Nashville?
No.
Okay. I think there are certain people, when I'm walking through, I'm like, my sister would love Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I think my friend Megan would love Nashville.
Oh, really? Did you legitimately think that?
I legitimately thought that. Legitimately. Because it's just a fun, like, the main Broadway street is a fun vibe. Mm-hmm. There's lots of cool little eateries, honky-tonk spots. There's music coming out of everywhere, rooftop bars. It's a scene, and it's just fun. And, like, we were talking just before we pressed play on this podcast or whatever, or record, I guess, that it's relatively cheap. I mean, Nashville is not cheap, but it's not terrible mm-hmm. compared to other things. The rest of Tennessee is cheap, so it's mm-hmm. it's terrible compared to the rest of Tennessee, but
compared to Washington State,
it feels like pretty dang good. And a cool scene. Yeah. Man,
I actually have an uncle who lives just outside of Nashville in Tennessee.
I think you'd have fun. But then we got a chance to drive a couple hours away through Knoxville, the other large town where UT is, University of Tennessee, and then you go south from there and you go over like this hill, and then you mm-hmm. see the Smoky Mountains, like, boom, it just like hits you. Looks like flatland, and all of a sudden it kind of dives down, and then there's the Smoky Mountains in front mm-hmm. of you. And it was, as somebody who grew up in the Pacific Northwest, pretty exhilarating. You're like, whoa, that looks awesome. Like, that's really cool looking.
Yeah.
And it's a national forest, which is awesome. And we got to go do like a hike to some waterfalls along really some cool. things, which is great. And they have in Gatlinburg a little downtown thing, and we got to go visit a distillery, Old Smoky distillery down there.
Is it whiskey? Tennessee whiskey? Is that what Tennessee does?
Moonshine.
Oh,
100%.
And what is their starch on their moonshine? Do you know?
Let me think. Yeah, it would be. a grain. Basically, it's it's the same. It's like pre-whiskey. So they make the liquid that would then sit in the barrels, do the inside and outside of barrels to give it the coloration.
Yep.
So moonshine's clear and oftentimes high proof and becomes less as it kind of does some other things. So,
alcohol.
Yeah, and they used to make it
volatilizes.
In the woods, obviously.
Yep, moonshine,
Until almost, seriously, like recently.
Oh, yeah.
And which is like mind-boggling to me. It's like Tennessee's oldest distillery, established 2003, was on the sign of this deal.
What?
Yeah.
As like an official distillery?
As an official distillery.
Of moonshine?
And they wouldn't be able to even sell their product until, I think it was like 2008 or something like that. Like it was stuck
moonshine though, right?
Because
they've been making whiskey forever. Yeah.
But at the higher proof level and like a certain way of doing that. But yeah, honestly, it was 2008. The world crashed because we got a little tour of this thing. The world kind of crashed in terms of economic processes, and the state of Tennessee was like, "How do we make more money?
Let's legalize moonshine.
Let's legalize moonshine, and let's charge an exorbitant amount of tax on this stuff." And so I said 2003. I think that the distillery said 2008, and then they couldn't start actually selling it until 2010.
Oh, wow.
That's all so recent.
It sounds like weed in Washington State.
A little bit, yeah. 100% is what it felt like, yeah. And so then you go on this tour, there's a guy in overalls, and he's got a big old freaking pot belly, and he's just funny as a rubber crutch talking, you know? And he's handing you all this stuff, and he's like, "Well, this is the coconut, you know. This is the letting you taste right and doing all these things." And he gets to the spot.
Did you consume all of this alcohol?
They give him to you in like the smallest communion cups ever, and he says, "This is we're having communion here today, everybody." He was
amazing.
He had a bit for sure that was super funny. In fact, one of his bits was he was talking about blue. He said, "This is blue flame. This is the highest proof we can legally sell. We can't even sell this out of the state of Tennessee, but we can sell it here today for you." It's been known to start fights, fires, and families in the backwoods of Tennessee. What a great
That's
line.
That's a great joke.
I literally pulled out my phone. In my phone, I have a note that says fights, fires and families.
Yeah.
I'm like, that'll preach someday. Or make a podcast, I guess.
That'll preach someday.
He was hilarious and had all kinds of stuff.
Did he know he was giving a tour to a bunch of pastors?
We told him, because he made the joke, the communion cups.
Yeah.
And we're like, it was only four of us on this, because there was like, it wasn't enough room in it. It was already full. And so he laughed at that. He thought that was pretty great. But I'm pretty sure most Tennessee pastors over there
are not. 100%.
Yeah. So
they have their own distillery in their garage.
Yeah. It's in the woods up in the corner, you know what I mean? But he played into that idea of like the old man and the thing, you know, in the woods. This is what happened to him, and it was awesome, man.
That's really cool.
It was really, really cool.
Those kind of tours are super fun, especially if you get a good host.
Because we only covered like, I don't know, nothing bigger than our upstairs here where we're recording. That was the smallest. There was like one of the distillers. It's not even their main distiller spot. Like, they do it somewhere else. This is just for show.
Yeah.
But they still show you all of it, and it still smells like it. And it's like that yeasty. If you've ever been to a brewery, it smells almost the same, just a little bit more potent, obviously.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was very fun. Very fun times. What else? We did some go-karts. I don't know.
Nice. Go-karts.
I know. They're like, let's go-karts.
Bunch of 40-year-old men.
40's generous.
Yeah. I just did that because you travel in large
groups, it's hard to find like lowest common denominator for what everybody wants to do, right? Because like the go-karts, and I was like, hey, I might like sit this one out. And then I realized I was going to be like the only one not doing the go-karts.
I'm
like, all right, I guess I'll do the go-karts. And then, of course, you have fun doing the go-karts.
Yeah.
And then,
well, yeah, you would, because you're like the most competitive human on the planet. Yeah. So.
Oh, I bumped everybody and T-boned everybody. Absolutely. Spun them all out. It was great. Yeah. We mostly got food and made stuff at the house, which was awesome, because it was a really cool big house that we didn't want to leave. But on the last night, we went out to eat, and we went to a Brazilian steakhouse. Have you ever been to one of those?
No, there's one in.
There's one here.
Yeah,
I've never been.
I've never been to it either, but I've heard it's good.
Go hungry. That would be my only.
Because there's like it's the portions.
Oh, my land. I felt like. Like presidential royalty as they're coming up to your plate being like, do you want more? And or do you want this? And I'm saying yes over my left shoulder while somebody's tapping on my right shoulder saying, sir, top sirloin, would you like? And I'm like, how do I say no to all of this? It was awesome. It was really, really fun and interesting. Different.
The one here is like by Costco kind of.
Yeah. Tucked behind there.
Yeah. Like on the other side of,
I'll be visiting now that I've experienced. Once you've tasted, it's hard to go back. I'm sure it'll be twice as much here.
At least.
Because it wasn't even that bad. I was like, you guys, how are you making money off of this?
Yeah.
I forget that the price of the steak as they buy it is probably less too. But, you know, whatever.
Like, should I tip you more?
I should tip you more. Tip like a Washingtonian, eat like a, you know, Tennessean. Yeah. So, but it made me realize this is why there are so many overalls in Texas of people wearing the overalls.
Because they can't support their own waistline.
You like that? Yeah, it's great food and sweet tea and all the things, man. Good sweet tea. Oh my gosh. I love it. I wouldn't want to live in the South. I like visiting the South, though. I do love that. It's a lot of fun. We had a great time. So, anyways, all right. That's a whole hullabaloo of whatever. You keep looking at our door like somebody's sneaking in here.
I'm looking at the
time. My back is to the door
He said before we recorded, he's like, I'm going to shut this door a little because it makes me feel weird to have it open.
Yeah. And then you keep looking over at it.
No,
like,
I'm looking at the time. I'm looking at the
somebody's
computer.
Somebody's going to come in here and I don't know. All right. Sunday, we started a new teaching series called The Signal and the Noise. Mm-hmm. And
I think this might be the noise.
This is a lot of noise.
You're
like, there's going to be a signal in here. There's going to be a reason to listen to this podcast. I don't know what it is yet. It's not Tennessee. It's not a basketball hoop that's improperly placed. What could it be? The Signal in the Noise. So somebody came up to me after church and go, hey, have you read the book by Nate Silver called The Signal in the Noise? And I go, yes, that's exactly where this thing came from. Uh-huh. Other than that's not a religious book. It's an economics book. But when I read it, I was like, that's where I got the December 7th insight.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is brilliant. And I think there's some religious stuff in here that we can kind of take and pull from. And so, yeah, that was an inspiring thing for it. The guy who wrote that book is called, his name is Nate Silver. He's the guy who does 538 rankings or predictions online.
I don't even know what that means. So
yeah, it doesn't matter. but the idea of we're terrible at predicting things. Mm-hmm. We don't think that we are. We give ourselves too much grief because we're bad at it, because we think, man, all the signs were there after the fact. But throughout the thing, he goes on to talk about the things that go into our predictions, and we can never truly place ourselves back into the "I don't have all of the information," but I have to make a decision, and then we judge ourselves harshly because we do that. And when it comes to faith as well, we kind of do that. I think as well, mm-hmm. we valorize people who seem to get this right. We even make up legendary stories of people who do mm-hmm. this. And I kept coming back to that world of economics because you hear about people who like beat the market, mm-hmm. right? And the message over the years has been put your money in index funds, ride it when it's high, ride it when it's low. It doesn't matter. It's just you're not going to be smarter than anybody else. Don't pay too much in fees for mm-hmm. anybody else to do it too. Anybody that tells you I know exactly what to do or what mm-hmm. to buy or when to sell,
like you're just blowing
they're
smoke.
Selling snake oil. Yep. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then, you know, in our minds, we think, but maybe I could do it, you know?
You can't.
You can't. Yeah. So don't, you know?
The reason that those people are stories is because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not common. So, yeah, you just know where you are.
And they talk
Stay
about
Stay in your
how
lane, everyone.
There's, even when somebody does, you know, successfully beat the market, whatever, however many times, what you don't hear are the stories of people who failed and lost 10 times in a row too.
Because yeah,
those exist, but there's no reason to listen to them. And so therefore they doesn't matter if they shout loud or have a podcast or write a book, you're not going to read it or listen to it.
No. Cause like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do
so
that.
Then we only see the good. Right.
Yep.
And, I remember somebody doing this a while back of when it came to picking sports games, they opened like 12 different Twitter accounts or 20 different Twitter accounts, started posting pics, and every time one would get wrong, they would just delete that account. So then all of a sudden, they have, you know, so when say they open 20,
yep.
after the game one, they pick two different sides on 10 games, and then so that one's done. So mm-hmm. 10 go away, but 10 successfully win, then 5, then 4, or sorry, 5, then 3, then 2, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, look, this guy's picked 4 in a row. Well, no, he just... the math works. You get enough people out there, there's somebody who's going to get it right 4 times or 5 times in a row. Mm-hmm. And we fail to remember that that's kind of how projections work and things work. And so we ignore the failures and we hype, you know, valorize the winners. Mm-hmm. And we do that. Like, there's no doubt that the story of Solomon, they pictured him probably as a super wise king, perhaps in relation to his dad and Saul, who... Mm-hmm. Neither of them really exercised lots of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Really, Saul didn't at all. And David had enough. He was definitely known to be a king and a fighter and also like a weird soft side. But he made some really poor decisions with his oldest son, yep. Absalom, that were very, very public. And so it'd be shocking to be like, oh, he's so wise. He can't even really handle his own home. He has a coup from the inside from his oldest son, who then sleeps with his dad's prostitutes on top of, you know, in public mm-hmm. for everyone to see. He's not wise.
No.
You know, we can like David and think
he's like strong and courageous and a lot of things, but like he's also impulsive.
So then all of a sudden Solomon comes along and has the ability to build a beautiful temple and see plans from the beginning to the end. Seems like when he was around people, they liked being around him. The Queen of Sheba said, you know, says something to him about, you know, oh, that my kingdom would look like this. So obviously they're like, this guy's got it, right?
When you were like, what do you guys think of when you think of Solomon? And then you were like, wisdom. And all I was in my head, I was like, nice hair. Like that's
nice hair.
Because like that's part of the story, right? Is like he lets a girl cut his hair or whatever, and then he loses his wisdom, right? Isn't that part of the story?
Are you talking about Samson?
Oh, that is Samson. I got like,
oh my gosh,
that is Samson. You're right. That's all. I was like, isn't he the one with nice hair? Nope, apparently not.
My one of my greatest fears is to get done speaking a message and have it completely wrong. And sometimes I'll do that. Like, I'll just be spouting off because I talk so fast that sometimes, and I'll be extemporaneous off my notes. I'll be like, yeah. It's just like, you know, Solomon with the hair, right?
Yeah.
And then people will be like, be like, hey, man, you said, did Solomon have good hair? Is that biblical? Is that somewhere? Or are you just, and I'll be like, yeah, it's
really funny because when you started like squinting at me when I was saying that, I was like, maybe I'm wrong.
I was trying to figure out because the story is Absalom had really long hair.
Okay.
And when that's his older brother who I mentioned just previously, and he gets his hair caught. The story goes in a tree on his way out of town and ends up like hanging from a tree, and that's how he dies. And so that's what I thought you were like.
I thought
you were confusing Absalom with Solomon.
No, I was confusing Samson with Solomon.
Got it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which is even hilarious because that's we're talking.
Samson was strength,
years.
Isn't it?
Yes. Strength.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes.
Now my felt Bible stories are realigning.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. So good. But the whole point, obviously, week one was to realize, hey, we're bad at this. Mm-hmm. Give ourselves a little grace in this. We don't have to just live in that badness and be like, we're always going to be bad. There are things you can do to be a little bit better, which I hope is what we're going to look at for the next couple of weeks. But step one is realizing you have a problem, right? Not living in denial and then moving forward on that. So.
And it's like, to talk about discernment, right? I think that is sometimes even harder because you're like, I do kind of know all of the facts, but I can't know how, like, with life choices or whatever, right? Like, I know all of the facts. I know me. I know that person as much as they let me know them. But I can't know what will happen until I say yes or say no. And so it is hard. You're like, I don't know what the answer is. And so you're like, God, can you please help me figure out what the answer is? And then you feel like, I don't know. How do you hear that? How do you decide what is true amidst all of the stuff surrounding it, right? Like with marriage or kids or buying a house or moving or whatever it is, right? How do you know what the right answer is?
And
the truth is you don't.
You don't, yeah. And the hard part too is even when you think, I do have all the information, well, maybe you have a version of the information, right? And it can be very, very convincing. But talk to somebody who lived with somebody who had a second, like a double life or a thing, and you're like, I thought that I really knew that person, and I was sure I had the signal on who they were and what they valued and what they wanted out of life and what our marriage meant to them. And now I don't, and all of that appears to be noise, and I feel completely duped. Like so right now we're in the process, you know, of trying to purchase this building from someone, and there's a legal thing going on behind the scenes that we are not privy to because it's not our business, but it has to do with estates and probates and
it affects
us
you,
and I'm being told on one side of things, here's how it's working, but also I things get jumbled around a little bit, and I definitely over the last 6 months have been like, is this all a ruse? Like is this real?
Yeah.
Is that really going to happen? Is this, I don't know. I think I know. I think I'm confident that I'm being treated fairly, but it could all be noise.
Yeah. And I think that happens to me all the time too. Like, I'm like, well, I mean, I want to trust this person.
Yeah.
But they could just be straight out lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, or using me for this reason.
Yeah.
Or like, whatever it is, right? Like, you don't know.
We play a great game. It's called Secret Hitler, which is
I've played that with
you. It's a bluffing game, and there are liberals and there are fascists, and you never know who is what, right? You know who you are, and that's it. And then there's like votes that come out, and you have to try and like kind of like a mafia, like vote them off and keep them in, and you have to know who you trust. And it's a great group game. It's one of our games that our group was, anytime we have like 10 or less people, we're like, let's play here. Let's go. So great. And until the end, until everyone exposes their cards, you really never know for certain. You can be like, I knew you were fascist. You're like, you thought you were, but you didn't, right? And every once in a while, they'll come a game. You are deadly convinced that they are on your side, that they are either for you or against you. And then the cards get revealed and they were against you the whole time. And you feel like, we have to play again because I have got to get you back, you know? It's a lot of noise in those bluffing games, right? And you're just trying to discern the signal.
I know. I don't like those games. But I think it's because I really, I am like a very strong truth seeker. And I like knowing and I like being right. And I like, you know, like those all are all things that bring me comfort and like security.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, you would hate this game.
Oh, yeah. I know. I played it with you before. Yeah. I did not like it.
Yeah. It's great.
And I'm not that, like, I'm not competitive in that way. And so, and I don't like lying and I'm a horrible, like, I'm horrible at it. I'm a horrible bluffer.
Yeah.
And so I don't ever do very well. But yeah. And so it's hard. Discernment is hard.
You know what I found in playing that game with people like you is that you have a hard time differentiating last game between this game. Like, I hosed you last game, but this time we're really on the same team.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would totally a little bit.
You can't say a thing to make me trust you. I could show you my card and you'd be like, that's a lie. It's a false card. Like you're absolutely, I still don't trust you. I've seen your card.
Knowing Brent, he 100% uses that. So
I have one of those. Yes. But anyways, anything else that stood out to you for?
I think the other thing. Oh, I think one of the things I was getting at with the like, you know, but you don't know is like you end up in decision paralysis.
Yeah,
which is where I end up a lot of the time. And like, sometimes you just have to make the choice and then know that maybe it's not going to be the right choice.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Yep,
because you're a human and you don't know everything that's going to happen in the future. And that's where that like grace piece comes in of like, we're so much harder on ourselves about those things than we should be.
Yeah.
Like, it's not your fault that you made the best choice with the information that you had and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
That's not your fault.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's sometimes things just happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes things aren't the way you thought they were going to be. Sometimes someone lies to you. Sometimes you didn't have all the information, even though you worked really hard to think you had it.
Yeah.
And that's all okay.
Yeah.
Like, you do not have to be mad at yourself for that. Yeah. Because we're all just trying our best, right?
Yeah.
Just trying to do the best with what we have. Have you seen, I know your kids watch Bluey and you don't really, but have you heard about the like 30-minute episode that they did?
Megan, we watched it two days ago. It literally factored into my talk about I'm about to make a decision about whether to move or not move. And in my mind, I was thinking of the Bluey episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched it.
For those of you who haven't, the episode is about the Heeler family.
It's called The Sign.
Yeah, it's called The Sign because there's a for sale sign in front of their house. And the Heeler family is moving because Bandit gets a job somewhere else. But there's a lot
Bandit's the dad.
Bandit's the dad, yeah. Yep. But there's a lot of like, is this the right choice? Energy around it. And
Bluey thinks if the sign's not in the yard, then the house won't be for sale. So they're trying to always remove the sign.
Because she's six.
He wants to move because he wants to provide a better life for his kids.
Yeah.
And his wife's like, we kind of like our life.
Yeah.
And it's kind of great here.
Is it a better life?
Yeah,
like,
is it a better life?
But she's like, you know what? Like, we'll do it together. Like, we're in it. At one point, he asks her, like, before they decide to not move or move, he asks her, is this a mistake? And she's like, probably, but we'll do it together.
Right.
Like, you know, like, it might be, like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're going to do it together because we're a family and we love each other and that's what we do. And like that, I don't know. I just thought of it right now. I didn't think of it while you were talking, but part of it.
Couple of things for context. Most Bluey episodes are like 7 to 9 minutes long. This one's 29 minutes long. It's really good. They had a great
really
idea
good.
And
yeah.
they rolled with it. And it's, I think, season 3 towards the end. It's not even the last episode.
I think it's like
second
season...
to last. Might be season 2.
4?
I think it's 3. Anyways, it doesn't matter. The other thing, too, is, like, if you have recently moved, and if you've ever moved your kids away from something, and, like, we started this new life, and it's going pretty good, maybe don't watch this one. Maybe give it a few years. Because we moved back almost a year ago now out of our neighborhood. And literally, we're in the same town. They go to the same school. Nothing hardly changed.
Yeah.
They, we live in a different neighborhood, and they don't have a couple of friends. And then they still hang out. Grayson hung out at his house 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
But, like, not, like, every day after school. And you could see it in my kids' eyes, like, a little bit. Like, if we had moved somewhere, if we had moved to, like, Nashville, say, or something like that, instead of the Tri-Cities at this age with my kids, and they watched that episode, I probably, as a dad, would have cried myself to sleep that night. You know what I mean? Like, it would
be really
hard.
You know what's
really
so funny about that is because, like, for me...
Yeah, you
moved
a lot.
I was like, oh, moving, yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't hit me. Like, I could understand, like...
You had probably enough, because, like she mentions, yeah. this is where you all grew up in. These, this yeah, is yeah. where, you know, this but is the house
we didn't
you
have any
fell
of
down
that.
The stairs
like,
on, right? Yeah.
Each of us took our first steps in a different house. Each of us did some big milestone, whatever, in a right. different house. Like, it wasn't, like, that part of it was not emotional to me. But they did, like, the storytelling of it, like, builds the emotion. And I was like, yeah, that is hard. And those are, like, tough choices to make. But, like, the moving part of it, I was like, your kids will be fine.
Yeah.
They'll make new friends.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the end of the world.
I know.
Like, you can move and be a perfectly capable human. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's because I did, like, it, even though I didn't necessarily move as much as a lot of military, kids, we moved often and... I was like, yeah, it was fine. So yeah, it didn't hit me, like that part of it didn't hit me as much as I think a lot of other people.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'll say this too. There's enough adult humor in spliced in between like that show.
Oh yeah.
To make it worthwhile, even if you don't have kids and you just want to watch a good show.
I don't have any children.
Yeah.
And I've watched every single episode. Oh, I don't think there's like one came out after The Sign. I haven't watched that one yet, but like. Yeah, I've watched all of them multiple times.
Yeah.
And gotten another adult single friend of mine to watch them. Yeah. So.
It's really good. They did a great job. And it's Australian, like, public television.
Yeah.
It's the people that developed it. So kudos for them because, you know, you could probably put out crap on some of the public television sometimes and get it, whatever. But this is really, really good.
It's really good.
So, and they got a good thing. So check it out. All right. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
I open. You get to go first on our things that we found interesting.
Yeah. Mine's like a little, I don't know if it's that interesting, but it's interesting to me. So have you ever made or Kylie ever made like taco seasoning yourself or do you guys just buy pre-made taco seasoning?
Well, let me think. She got some given to her by one of her students at Pasco High. Mm-hmm. And I just remember it being, or maybe it's at her school somewhere,
okay.
her preschool that was really good. And it was clearly like different than what you buy in the stores. But mostly we buy whatever Costco sells.
So I like put together my own taco seasoning. I have like a little recipe. And the first time I ever made it, I wasn't sure like how much would fit in my jar that I wanted to put it in. So I kind of made it like one recipe at a time. And then I ended up, so by the end of it, I ended up like quadrupling it, right?
Okay.
But so what ended up happening though, the first time I ever made it is I ended up with these like layers of stuff because I didn't like stir it up in between. I just like put it in.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really pretty. And it gave me this like weird nerdy.
Like sand art?
Yeah. Like, or like geological layers or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And it gave me this nerdy hit of serotonin. And so now every time I make taco seasoning, I do it like that, even though it's probably the least efficient way of doing it because I know I'm going to end up quadrupling the recipe.
Yeah.
But I still make it in the layers so that I get that little moment of seeing all of the layers. So I made taco seasoning yesterday. And I do have a picture to show you, Brent.
I want
to
see it. I was hoping you'd have a sample. Yep.
I don't have a sample with me. But this is my taco seasoning geological creation.
I love it.
And I do it every time I do it in layers so that I
feel
can look at
like
it.
You could package this and
sell
this.
So I've shown
do
it.
You know what I mean?
I've talked about it before. And one time, Margot, our friend who used to live here.
Hi, Margot.
She was like, that would be a really cool like wedding favor.
Yeah, it would.
Like if you could manage to keep it in the layers
I know.
Without getting like shaken up.
Be careful how fast you drive over to the ceremony. You get there and everybody's like,
it's just taco seasoning.
What?
Although it would still, even if it was shaken up, it would still be like a fun, like,
how cool
favor.
To be like, hey, when you spice up your life a little bit later, you're thinking of me and in our wedding in this day. Every time you have tacos, this is us. Remember how spicy that wedding was?
The way you said that, it did not.
I'm trying to come up with good catchphrases that you add to your tags, you know?
Oh, gosh. But yeah, it was, so yeah, that's what I did yesterday. But the recipe is pretty simple. It's like chili powder and cumin and salt and pepper and garlic powder, onion powder, paprika.
Cool. I love it.
Or oregano, cilantro. But yeah, I make my own taco seasoning. So that's my something interesting.
I dig it. So mine is an event that we get to finally announce that we've been in the working on behind the scenes for like a month now. Have you heard of the Candlelight Concerts? candlelight classical concerts.
I don't think so.
You'll see some advertisements on Facebook now. I promise you. I just said out loud into your phone. They rent out venues. They put a bunch of, there turns out the fake candles, which is good. Mm-hmm. That coincides well with our theater. And then they have classical concert pianists or, mm-hmm. or violin strings, orchestras, whatever, come and do like theme nights on these things. And they contacted us about a month and a half ago and said we'd be interested in hosting some of your theater. And we had to work through some logistics, and we were not aware of what kind of themes. They don't tell us what themes. They just book the nights, basically. Uh-huh. So they booked three events, and one in May, one in June, one in July, I think, is what we've settled on. I don't have those dates in front of me right now, but I did just see an advertisement come through during our lunchtime today.
Oh, that's cool.
And they advertised the first one's going to be like a classical music uh-huh. set to this. And then they're going to do a tribute to Taylor Swift in the second one, and a tribute to Coldplay in the third one.
Oh, fun.
And I love all of those things. Are you kidding me? And I get to come and be a part of it in the back room and be like, yeah, I work here. So like, you know, free tickets and all that kind of stuff. So anyways,
that sounds really cool.
If you go to our Uptown Theater Facebook page, mm-hmm. you'll see I shared a post earlier today from them on where to get tickets, what nights the,
what's it
called
again?
Dates are.
Candlelight Concerts.
And they have a certain name or something that goes mm-hmm. along with it too. But they tend to be in some bigger cities. This is an experiment in sort of a smaller town. So let's come out and support them. And
let's do it.
You know. We get paid regardless, so this has nothing to do with me, like making sure that they come back or anything like that. But I just think if you're looking for something fun to do that's unique and different, I think it's going to be pretty cool.
That's cool. That sounds awesome.
Check it out. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of Say Something Interesting. We'll be back next week because, you know, I have no reason to be gone. So let's record for 2 weeks in a row and change things up.
What
do you
say? See how it goes.
Give Eric more work to do. If you are in town, love to have you for part two of our Signal and Noise series this Sunday, 9:15, 10:30. We did announce on Sunday that starting on Memorial Day weekend, we are going to a summer schedule of one service only at 10 a.m. I almost said 10 p.m. 10 a.m. from Memorial Day all the way through Labor Day. So mark your calendars for that. Adjust your schedules accordingly. But this week, still two services, 9:15, 10:30. Hope to see you then. Have a great week, guys.
Bye, everyone.